Open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to carry on with our study on intercessory prayer. And, you know, we talked about why intercessory prayer is important, you know, and how Jesus is constantly interceding for us and what our part is in intercession. And all we really have to do is just be willing. We must be sensitive to the Spirit of God. We must not pray what we think another needs, nor attempt to pray our will off on another. As we let the Holy Spirit lead us, He will hit right at the root of the matter, whether in tongues or in natural language. Intercessory prayer is not necessarily lengthy, as you are sensitive to the Spirit of God, as He impresses you throughout the day or night. You will utter up prayers on behalf of others. A life may be saved, an accident prevented, a marriage preserved, all dependent on your obedience to pray at the nudging of the Holy Spirit. I don't want to cover a little bit of this. It's important to, you know, when you try to pray your will off on somebody else, that's witchcraft. You know, and people, they fight with this all the time because they'll be doing something to help somebody. You know, maybe a kid, it could be, you know, one of their children, it could be one of their loved ones, it could be about anybody that you may be trying to help. And then people will decide what that other person needs. And they'll come up with a game plan for them, you know. Parents come up with game plans for kids all the time. You know, and they'll pray for that kid to be what they want them to be instead of praying that they end up being what God wants them to be. Wouldn't that be a better scenario? That's why when we're interceding for somebody else, it's very important to follow the Word of God. And, you know, when you got to pray for somebody, the prayers in Ephesians are very good. That's a very, very, very good guideline. And that will keep you right down the middle of the road, right in line with the Word. You know, another is being confident in praying in tongues. Because a lot of people think that just because they don't understand what they're saying, that it just gobbledygook and that, so they'll give up. You know, but you're praying in the heavenly language. You can pray for understanding what you're praying. You may get understanding, you may not. It depends on, you know, the Holy Spirit, if He needs you to understand what you're praying, then yeah. You don't necessarily have to know what you're praying in tongues. You're just getting it out there and the Holy Spirit's taking it where it needs to be. That's the only important part is. Now, it said we didn't have to pray for a long time. You know, you don't have to just sit in there and just pray and pray and pray and pray. If the Holy Spirit leads you to, then yeah, go for it. But one of the most powerful men of faith I ever read about was Smith Wigglesworth. And I thought it was really interesting that somebody asked him, said, "How long do you pray?" And he said, "I never pray for more than 30 minutes. And then he said, "But I never go more than 30 minutes without praying." But I thought, man, that's pretty profound. Because that guy, he really had it going on. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, and we'll talk about more prolonged intercession. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So there are times when the Holy Spirit calls those who are willing and able from a standpoint of time to pray into hours or days of intercession. We pray until the Holy Spirit begins to rejoice and brings words of praise through us. So we may groan or cry in the Spirit. Great warfare and victory is often accomplished this way. Now there are people that have this ministry of intercessory prayer, and they'll pray for, you know, they'll have different ministries that they're assigned to, or different groups of people that they're assigned to, maybe a country or maybe a different a certain area, and they will literally pray for hours and hours and hours every day for that same subject. And that's really strong, deep intercessory prayer. Not everybody has time to do that. Not everybody is called to do that. We are called to intercessory prayer. But that doesn't mean that you have to sit in there and pray for somebody for 6 or 7 hours a day. You know, there are people that do that, though. You know, there's ministries that literally do have people they assign to just pray. And that's their job. They go to that particular church place. I knew one lady that was actually an intercessory prayer minister, a warrior, in Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And she said that's what she did. She just went in there every day, and she was there for however many hours a day it was. She was there, and that's what she did. She prayed in there for hours and hours and hours. I don't probably have that much patience. You know, and I don't have that much time. Not everybody does. And it's okay. There are certain people that can sit and pray for a long, long time. They're out there, and they do that. But don't feel bad if you're not one of those people that can just sit down and pray for 4 or 5 hours. It's okay. You can pray for 10, 15 minutes or 5 minutes. You know, you can pray for a couple minutes. Look at there's one thing I wanted to talk about in there. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Have you ever seen something that you didn't like and it kind of made you groan a little bit? Movies do that to me. It drives my wife crazy, because I get kind of sensitive when people are hurt or something bad has happened to somebody. It upsets me, and I'll actually find a distraction. I'll find something else to look at. I just won't watch that part. And she said, "Why do you always get up and leave when something like this happens?" I said, "I don't want to watch that. I don't want to watch people get hurt. I don't want to watch people go through bad things. I don't want to watch bad things to happen to people." And I'll actually groan. It really bothers me. It bothers my spirit to see that. I want to see people well. I want to see people whole. I want to see people win. I want to see people do good. I want to see people happy. I know the reality of life, that that's not always the way it works for people. But I don't want to purposefully set out to watch something that's discomforting. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Love is the basis for all Christian activity. We choose to love people, even the unlovable, what you may call the unlovable. They're not unlovable, they're lovable. But love is the basis for intercession. You know, people like to kind of pick and choose. You know, they like to go through life like it's a smorgasbord. You know, they'll participate in this or take a little bit of this. They'll pray for this person, but I don't like this group of people. I'm not praying for that group of people. And one of the strangest things that happened to me early on was one time we were in Prescott, Arizona, and this was when the Muslims were posting videos of them beheading Americans, and people were all up in arms on this. Well, there was a big event center right there at the racetrack, and there was all of a sudden one day we woke up and there was just literally, there was thousands of Muslims. Thousands. I think there must have been 5,000 of them there. And man, everybody was up in arms, and I thought, well, I don't know what to do. So there was this little prophetess, this lady, she was a prophet. And I went down there and I asked her, I said, what do we do about that? She said, well, you witness to them. You pray for them. I thought, why can't I go pray for the Cowboys or something like that, you know, or the Ranchers or something? Why can't I go witness to those guys? And I said, are you sure? She gave me some tracts and said, you witness to those people. Those are the people that are in front of you. I said, okay, well, go see how this works. You know, they didn't have any mean things to say to me. They didn't try to do anything mean to me. I went in there, I told them about Jesus. We walked around, I told them about Jesus, handed out tracts, and they didn't have anything bad to say to me. God took care of me, even though I didn't know exactly what I was doing. And that's the important thing to understand. He said that nothing shall by any means hurt you. Too often, people miss out on some real valuable chances to witness to people because they're afraid of them. You know, they don't dare go into this neighborhood. They don't dare talk to this group of people. They don't dare talk to this one. Man, I heard that one is a bad individual. I ain't going to talk to that one. God said that He would take care of you. If we'll just take Him at His word, He'll take care of us. The martyrs, I really loved that one video that you brought to church that day where that one guy was in jail and the guard come in there and beat him every day and said, why do you keep praying? You know, who are you praying for? And he said, well, I'm praying for you. And well, that guard ended up getting born again. Some of the people that we end up praying for may be very frustrating. They may be a real challenge. But God still wants them to be prayed for. You know, Jesus died on the cross for them. And I'm pretty sure that without somebody praying for them, they're not going to get born again. I've often wondered how many people had been praying for people that I had witnessed to, because some of them I'd come up there and I'd talk to them for 5 minutes and they would be getting born again. And it was like, I know that whatever I said wasn't that powerful. So there had to be somebody praying. There had to be. Somebody was praying for that individual. I just happened to come along at just the right time for them to accept Jesus. See, you're never alone in this business of witnessing to people. You know, it may seem like you're by yourself. There's all these prayer warriors praying for these lost people. There's all these angels that are out there watching over you if you'll put God's word into the atmosphere and give them something to do. And then you've got God's word. Above all that, you have His word that says, nothing shall by any means harm you. We choose to love people, even the unlovable ones. It involves the giving of our lives for the benefit of mankind, the giving up of our desires and will, and taking time to pray and intercede. Human sympathy says, I know how you feel, and I am so sorry. That won't help. Divine compassion says, I know how you feel, and it brings deliverance. As you intercede, you will often take on symptoms or feelings of those you are praying for and pray until deliverance comes. A lot of times, we'll end up praying for people who are going through similar situations that we've been through. You know, when we've already been through something, it seems like we can have a lot more compassion on somebody who's going through it, and we understand where they're at, and we can actually kind of feel that same pain because we've already been there. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Our intercession is not so much of God to extend His mercy. He has already done this to all men in Jesus Christ. It is simply to break the bondage of the devil and his hosts off people. One thing that you need to understand is that the devil has blinded men. Let me go over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil has blinded people. You know, that's why it seems like when you talk to somebody about Jesus, when you try to witness to them, and it's like it just bounces off their forehead. They actually do have a veil over them. They're blinded. The devil has them blinded. And that's why it's so important to pray for those people. They will stay blind until the gospel shines through. And the only way that it's ever going to shine through is by somebody praying for them and somebody to keep witnessing to them. I heard a strange statistic. I don't know how these guys come up with this number. They said that a man usually ends up hearing the gospel 6 or 7 times before he gets born again. Well, doesn't the Bible say that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God? So maybe somebody hears something and they it's hard to get the word through them. You know, they're blinded. They've been out in the world for so long that the devil has such an influence over them. But you know what? You still planted some seed there. And then the next time you tell them about Jesus, maybe a little more gets through there. Maybe somebody down the road tells them about Jesus. Maybe a little more seed gets in there. What's going on? There's a little sprig of faith starting to happen. And then pretty soon, there's been enough prayer for them that veil gets lifted and somebody is right there to preach the gospel to them and they get born again. So don't give up. People aren't going to understand. Don't get frustrated if they don't understand. They're not going to understand until they do get born again. Second Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 tells us that we are to loose people from darkness so they may see the light. Fasting and intercessory prayer are among the weapons of our authority, of our warfare, that pull down Satan's strongholds. See, they're not going to get set free without prayer. There's always somebody praying behind every born again experience. I've read some interesting accounts. One soldier said he was walking down the street. He was drunk and high. And he was just walking down the street, and he said the very next step he took, he was perfectly sober. And he just looked over across the street, and there was a church. So he walked over into the church, and he got born again. And he said he never took another drug or a drink of alcohol again. Somebody was still praying for that. I bet his mama had some wore-out toes on her shoes. Or grandma, but somebody was still praying for that individual. But we do have authority over all the power of the enemy, and we're to stand fearlessly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When people are free to see God as He really is, they will want to love Him. One of the most interesting things I ever got to witness personally was there was this guy. He showed up on our job site. And so I started witnessing to him. And I said, he was interested. And I said, "Don't you want to get born again?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, let's pray." And he said, "I can't." And I said, "What do you mean you can't pray?" He said, "I want to get born again. Every time I try, I can't move my tongue." And I thought, "What?" And he said, "Yeah, I've heard everybody talk about Jesus, and I want to get born again, but I can't get the words out." And I said, "Well, would you give me permission to speak into your life and give me some authority in your life to speak over this situation and take care of this?" And he said, "Yeah." So I just bound the devil in the name of Jesus and commanded him to get away from that man. And I said, "Now do you want to pray?" And he said, "Yeah." So we prayed and he got born again on the spot. On the spot. And then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and he was upstairs sitting on a bucket laughing and having a good time. And my boss came to work, and he said, "What's going on?" And I said, "Oh," and he looked at me, and he said, "Oh, I know, okay." And we just went to work and let him just kind of have a little fun there for a little bit. But see, the devil has authority over people's lives until they get born again. He owns them. That man got born again. But he had to hear the gospel. He had to be told about Jesus. Look over here. Look at James chapter 5, verse 16. Says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We have to understand that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that if we will be bold and persistent, we will get answers. We will see things change. We have to be bold enough to be bold. Get out there and do it. One thing that really helped me a lot was that book, that the Prayers That Avail Much. That is a cool book, because then I didn't have to come up with anything on my own. I could just sit there and I could just read it right out of the book. And that's really neat. You know, there's nothing in the Bible says that we have to wing it in prayer. Nobody has ever been told by Jesus that you have to memorize it and come up with it all out of your head on your own. Otherwise, God would not have had Paul write those prayers down in Ephesians. Even Jesus gave us an outline to prayer when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. So that's, you know, we pray the Lord's Prayer like that's the whole prayer. But that's an outline, because Jesus said to pray along these lines. So we can sit there and look at that and pray for a long time. You can spend a lot of time on the Lord's Prayer when you break it all down. Look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. While God lays it on our heart to intercede, this must be the primary issue of our heart and life. We must be bold in coming to God's throne. Remember, we have boldness to enter into His throne room because of the blood of Jesus. We have to understand, there's nothing that we've ever done that caused us to be good enough to go into His presence. It's only because of the blood of Jesus. Now, because you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you can have boldness to go into the throne room of grace and intercede for people. And God wants you to do that. Remember, that's the gap. That's God's appointed place. You're getting in between the people and the trouble that they're headed for. Mark 11, verse 24. We go there a lot. Says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We may have to spend a little bit of time looking at the Word of God when it's concerning somebody else. You know, they may look like they're unsavable, but everybody's savable. Everybody's savable. God can save anybody. But we may have to spend some time looking at His Word concerning somebody and specifically finding something in the Bible that we can stand on for that person, you know, and just believe God that He's on it. No matter how bad it may look, how much time it looks like you don't have. You know, I prayed for a couple people that God put them on my heart to pray for them. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I finally got to a spot where I thought, okay, I can stand on this. Several years later, one of them ended up with cancer and was just about out of time. And somebody said, well, did you get him born again? I said, I haven't. But I did pray for him. And I believe God is on the scene. So I called one of them and he said, this one pastor guy has been coming down to the house visiting. And I said, oh boy. I said, who is it? And he told me his name. I said, I knew in my heart. I knew in my heart that this guy had taken care of the deal. So when I went to her funeral, I went and I specifically found that guy because he was a friend of mine. And I said, tell me about this. Did you get a chance to witness to them? And he said, yeah. I asked her if she wanted to go to heaven. She said, yeah, yes, of course. I said, well, you want to get born again? She said, yeah. And said, so does he. Get over here. Called her husband over there. So they both got born again right there on the spot. And I thought, praise God. Just be willing to pray. You know, you're not in control of the outcome. But just know this, that when you do release God's word in behalf of somebody else, know that His word is going to have an effect in their lives. And He's going to work things out. Sometimes people like to think they got to have control of everything. You really don't have control of much in the whole scheme of things. But if you'll just pray and let God be God, He can do some amazing things. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We thank you that we pick it up and put it in our heart and put it in our mouth, put it in the atmosphere. It will change our very reality. It will change everything about us. We thank you that you honor your word above all else, and that your word is designed to feed us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.